Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Old Lady Speaks podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Danny, coming to you for episode 227. If you want to listen to this episode, as well as all future episodes, feel free to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform. If you do listen to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, feel free to give us a nice 5-star rating and a review. So, we are looking ahead to the weekend, and just like this past weekend, it is another big weekend in terms of who Juventus is playing. So, before we get to that, let me bring in here Samuel Pressy. Hello, Sam.
How goes things, Danny? It's another one of those ones where you're like, oh man, this could be bad.
Yeah, we've been saying that no matter the opponent lately. Yeah,
it says a lot about the form of this team the last 3 months that I was actually thinking ahead today about the game against Salernitana, and my first thought was, oh man, I hope we win that.
Yeah. State of Juventus, not good. Got Chucks. Hello, Chucks.
Hey, good evening, guys. Let's just get to the finish line. You know, we're almost there. Almost got the much coveted objective that Max keeps talking about. So let's just get there.
Yes, indeed, and obviously, that objective that Chucks is alluding to is Max Allegri. Every chance he steps in front of a microphone, saying the number one goal this season, outside of making it to the Coppa Italia final, has been qualifying for next season's Champions League. And as we now know, with Sunday's results going down and Roma and Bologna drawing, Juventus need all of 5 points. So for all of the mathematical issues that we had on the last episode, I think we have a pretty clear idea now what Juventus need to do. The only problem with that, and it's obviously a very large problem, is that in Juventus's last 13 games, they have gotten 13 points. So as they head to the Stadio Olimpico again, which is a place that, as weird as it sounds, this will not be their last visit to the Stadio Olimpico this season. Juventus face Roma, who have slowed down a little bit form-wise, I think it's safe to say, but have still been much improved under Daniele De Rossi. And kind of to quote Sam, oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny to me because Roma has done exactly what I wanted Juventus to do. Fire the stodgy coach, get somebody in who might, you know, both energize the team and get some newer tactics in there. And they just went flying. And even now, you know, they've only lost one game in their last eight. They've only lost one game out of their last eight in all competitions. And they've only lost two games since the middle of February. So, you know, that's form right there. And I think that there's no explanation as to why, other than Daniele De Rossi is doing how Daniele De Rossi do in the coach's box, which I don't think any one of us was really expecting. I mean, you know, he had that run at Spal last year. It wasn't particularly good in Serie B. You know, a lot of people thought that De Rossi, he just had the contract until the end of the year. I think everyone thought that it was just going to, you know, kind of thing to make everybody at Roma feel good and then find a new coach at the end of the season. I am very, very certain that there will be no other coaching search for Roma.
Their coaching search is over.
Their coaching search is very over. And they're playing with a freedom that Juventus lacks. I think that's the best way to say it. you know, they're playing free, they're enjoying what they're doing. And I don't think Juve have that. And that change was just boom, done. So it was, this is going to be a tough game. Roma is always, you know, the Olimpico is always a tough place to go. And, you know, the turf monster is there. It's weird. It only happens when Roma plays. It doesn't happen when Lazio plays. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
But yeah, it you know, hopefully we can maybe pick out a point and then hopefully beat up on Salernitana. But this is not a game where I'm going in with extreme confidence.
Chuck, so you're hanging your hat on the fact that Roma do have a meeting with Bayer Leverkusen, arguably one of the best teams in Europe going right now, if not the best team in Europe right now, before they meet Juventus, and hopefully the Europa League hangover is the thing that saves Juventus's ass.
I think much of it depends on what they prioritize.
Right.
You know,
I know our buddies at Chiesa di Totti, they were wondering about that afterwards as well. It's like, okay, suddenly with a draw against Napoli and with Atalanta and Lazio both breathing down Roma's neck, do they, you know, go all in on Europa League? Or is it like, do we really need to, you know, make sure that a Champions League spot, knowing that Serie A now has five of them, that a Champions League spot is secured for first and foremost?
Yeah, it's a game of odds. I mean, what chances are they willing to take? Are they willing to gamble on winning the Europa League, or are they willing to gamble on reaching top five? I mean, you look at it now, they are, if Atalanta wins their game in hand, they're in sixth place. So, you know, then they would have to win the Europa League. What odds are they? I mean, what probability is it that Atalanta wins their game in hand? I mean, it's against Fiorentina. Tough game, but I mean, who knows? You know, it's not a guarantee, that one. And then, of course, Atalanta have their own. Ironically, they might even just have to play Atalanta then in the final, if they get there, for a Champions League spot.
They also have to play Atalanta in the league.
Yeah, and that's
it. Yeah, have a head-to-head.
Roma's next four games are Leverkusen, Juventus, Leverkusen, Atalanta, which, yeah. As we say about Juventus' schedule being tough to close, that's even tougher.
Yeah. Yeah. In the words of one Ron Simmons, damn.
I mean, you would say that Atalanta have an easier run in the league, at least.
Right.
Salernitana, and, well, of course, the head-to-head against Roma at home, Lecce, and Torino, then. And then, of course, the catch-up game against Fiorentina. So you could say they probably have the easier run in there compared to, you know, again, Roma playing against, well, Juve, Atalanta, and then, well, Genoa and Empoli. So, yeah, it just depends what gamble they're willing to take. Personally, I mean, I don't know.
I think they'll make that decision at the end of the first leg against Leverkusen.
Yeah.
If they're in it, if it's tight against Leverkusen, I could see them rotating. If the first leg is rather lopsided one way or the other, I could see them saying screw that and going all in on the league.
But then again, I mean, it's also like they only have six games, well, minimum of six, maximum of seven games remaining for the rest of the season. The same for Atalanta have seven and then maximum eight, or, well, plus the catch-up game, so then eight plus nine, anyway, math. But
we still can't
have five plus two. So yeah, no, they have minimum of seven, maximum of eight. Anyway, I don't know. Someone will check that math. But anyway, point is, they have, both teams have single digit. I mean, all teams basically have single digit number of games remaining. So at this point, you might as well just go gung ho for every game for Atalanta and Roma, at least. So, you know, I see them going all in, especially with Daniele De Rossi. I mean, his character, he doesn't seem like a very mild and moderate and tempered type of person. So I expect them to go all in this game and in their remaining games of the season, which means we have a problem.
Right, exactly. So, does the fact that Juventus played well in the second half against Milan give us any solace that things could end up being fairly positive against Roma, or is it just not falling into a recency bias and like, well, look at all the other second halves or first halves that this team has had over the last few weeks?
I mean, I said this over the weekend on the Monday episode. Max has got to do that again.
Right.
And to go into the Olympico in a game this big, you know that the temptation for him to go Corto Musso is high.
When is it not?
I mean, when is it not these days? But you know, I would he do what he did against Milan tactically only if we're chasing the game in the second half? Is he going to try to throw a curveball at De Rossi and attack Roma early? You know, I tend to think that it'll probably be the former as opposed to the latter, because this Max just defaults to safe all the time. But I think we can hurt Roma with the way that we played. You know, the question becomes, is he going to do it? Or is he just going to soak stuff up, you know, hope that Dybala and Lukaku just slam into the back three over and over and over again, and that Dybala doesn't finally come out with a goal against us and hope to steal a goal?
Yeah, I just hope that Max didn't read your article, Danny, or that he just read any of the reports about Juventus only needing 5 points to achieve our goal, because you bloody well know that if he did, and if he's aware of that, we all know what he's going to do. I mean, it's just, you know, we all know he's just going to do the bare minimum and play for a point here, go for the win against Salernitana, and then, I mean, get a win either against Bologna or Monza, or a draw or two draws, or yeah, two draws. Let me see, 3-4. Yeah, yeah, something like that.
So basically beat the worst team in the league and then hope you draw against everybody else?
Basically. I mean, you know that he's going to do that.
Honestly, the way Juventus has played the last 3 months, that feels like best case scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And regarding your point about Milan, I thought we played, I mean, well, the entire game in general. But let's not forget, it was against basically a half-assed Milan who had, I mean, quite literally nothing to play for anymore in the season. You know, they, with very high certainty, they're going to get second place even before that game. So, yeah, you know, they were not playing for anything anymore. So, yes, it was a good performance, but let's not forget the opponent was semi-bothered to play, and with a half of a defense, half of a first 11 starting defense.
You want to know the stat about Roma that I find the most hilarious?
Let's hear it.
So, Leandro Paredes.
Yeah.
He's been much better at Roma than he ever was at Juventus last year.
Low bar to clear, but yes.
Low bar to clear, but he's played quite well for them. But the number that stands out on his stat line, 14 yellow cards.
Yeah.
14, wow. Wow.
Not even Gianluca Mancini has as many. Gianluca Mancini has 9. That's the next highest.
Yeah.
But 14.
Yeah.
That's like Sergio Ramos numbers.
Yeah.
Nah, man, for real.
Yeah, it was no surprise that Paredes was suspended for the Derby della Sole against Napoli. So obviously he's now going to be, you would assume, at least somewhat well rested, even though they have a game on Thursday. But yeah, I mean, you know, you've got Paredes with those cards. You've got the modern day Materazzi and Mancini with just behind him. So I mean, yeah, it's, I mean, they definitely have dudes to take on De Rossi's mind, you know, playing style from back in the day, don't they?
Oh yeah, there's a lot of pugnacious dudes in that right. team.
But that's also you know, the physical kind of play we've seen that give Dusan Vlahovic plenty of troubles, even though he's improved a little bit in that aspect this season. We've seen, obviously, you know, somebody like Federico Chiesa, who wants to dribble past you, isn't necessarily going to have as much success if somebody like Mancini or whoever the heck they have playing right back is going to be knocking him over pretty much every time he has the ball at his feet. It feels like the only dudes who really want that wearing Juventus jersey is, you know, somebody like Bremer or Gatti or, You probably throw Weston McKinney in there because he's not afraid to throw his body around. So yeah, it's going to be, at least from Roma's point of view, you know, it's going to be just a physical tussle. Who knows, knowing that, you know, as we've said, it's going to be probably at least some bit of Corto Musso, to say the least. It's going to, you know, it's going to be so many dudes behind the ball, and then we'll see if Roma can break down Juventus, I guess.
Problem is, they've got one player in particular that we know can unlock a defense.
Yeah, we've seen
that. Because we saw it happen a lot.
Yeah, we saw him do that a few times, and if Sergio was here, I think this is the section of the podcast where he'd go, I miss you.
Yeah.
I miss you so much, Paulo. I miss you so much.
There's the meme of the, you know, the single tier.
Right.
That's Sergio whenever he has to watch
or
Dybala playing for
Roma. Or the meme of him just looking all sad and all the rain just coming down on him.
Yeah, yeah.
Pick your poison. Pick your poison at this rate.
Yeah. Granted, he has been injured. Dybala has been injured. You know, the expected amounts that we did on a, you know, annual basis, he tends to get injured a lot. But still, I mean, didn't miss him.
He's played 25 games. He's scored 13 times. He's got 9 assists.
Yeah. Who does he think he is? Weston McKinney?
Yeah. And another 2 goals and an assist in the Europa League in 8 games.
He's played over 2,000 minutes, all comps.
So. Altogether, yeah. He's got 1,800 in the league and another 500 in the Europa League. And that's not counting Copa minutes, which who scored does not keep track of. So, yeah, it does scare me when Paulo Dybala gets the ball against us. And especially, you know, how that ended, he will be motivated to take that out on us, I think. It's just going to be a hell of a thing to contain him. I think it, you know, if you might be, you know, a situation where Gatti's got to do the Gentile thing and, like you said, just kick the crap out of him.
Thing is, it depends how much Gatti's going to man mark him, because obviously Dybala drops deep quite a bit. So, you know, is Gatti going to follow him all the way into, I don't know, center circle / their 5 Roma's kind of midfield-ish position, even further possibly back? Or is he going to, you know, pass him off to a midfielder and then drop back into his own position?
Yeah, I mean, you look at their game against Napoli, and obviously it wasn't with Lukaku on the field, but Dybala played pre DeSeal Trucks's average position deal. Dybala was definitely playing centrally, so he kind of pulled the Chiesa where it was. He was his team's furthest player up the field, but he wasn't necessarily, at least on average, playing all that far off of this, you know, the number 9 in this case, Azmoun. So yeah, I mean, he's technically playing out on the right into Rossi's 4-3-3, but you know, that natural tendency he has to drift out wide. It's kind of hard to drift out wide when you're technically positioned out wide. So, you know, a lot of kind of the classic Dybala cutting in and looking for stuff on the left foot, which, you know, he's Lukaku has definitely cooled off the last couple of months. He hasn't scored all that much the last 10 games or so. So Dybala has been even that much more important to Roma's overall success. But I guess we will wrap it up on this note, gentlemen. And since we haven't done necessarily a straightaway match preview episode in a while, the Juventus players that you are looking at as difference makers against Roma, and Chucks, I guess you could technically select a young Dutch defender in this case, knowing that he will be playing against Juventus and is still on Juventus's books, if you want.
Is he going to play? Honest question.
He might. He's played 13 games, 4 starts since coming over. De Rossi has been using him, and he scored twice.
He didn't play against Napoli. That's why I was just, you know, genuinely wondering if he's going to play.
I mean, I just
wanted to get your Dutch bias in there, Chuck.
I'm a man of reason, man of data.
That man of data.
considering the Europa League, it might not be out of the realm of possibility that he does play, because De Rossi, depending on how much De Rossi rotates in between.
Yeah.
Going back possible. To the discussion that we had at the beginning, where it's just like, you know, how do they decide to divvy that up?
Also, knowing that Juve are just not that good, he could afford to maybe rotate a player or two, or rest a player or two. Yeah, I mean, in terms of difference makers, so you asked for Roma or for either team?
For Juventus, knowing that this is a Juventus podcast, but I just, like I said, I wanted to make a Dean Huijsen reference.
Oh, yeah.
Because, as we know, he is currently the only Dutchman of serious note that we've talked about this season for Juventus.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't expect him to play, so I'm going to deflect your bait and
all right.
Touché on guard. No, I think it's going to be Locatelli and Dybala for respective teams, simply because I think Dybala is going to be playing in and around Locatelli's zone. And I mean, I mentioned this about Gatti, but I think it's kind of the question of, is he going to mark, he being Locatelli, is Locatelli going to mark him? Is Gatti going to mark him? I expect it to be more Locatelli than Gatti. So yeah, that's going to be an interesting marking.
I don't mean to interrupt, but do you think it could be a case of kind of like what they did against Rafa Leão, except on the other side of the field?
Oh, so like what, kind of double mark him, or like
essentially, yeah, with the midfielder. So in this case, it would be Rabiot and whoever is at left wing back, or maybe Danilo and the wing back.
I don't think so, because they're obviously very different players. Leão's danger is just in his acceleration. I mean, his first 5 to 7 meter acceleration is just, you know, out of this world. And Dybala is more, you know, foot on a ball, kind of technical. Yeah. He'll kind of skip past you and then play a pass kind of thing. So he's more close ball control and, you know, tight spaces, whereas Leão is looking for that space to burst into. So then you need someone to kind of cover you in case he basically burns you and burns you for pace. So no, I don't think it will be a situation like that. I'm just not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what it will be. It's either, again, zonal and people just pass him off and say, okay, hey, you take him now, or someone man marks him. I don't know. It either one could work. I'm not sure. Because man marking him might force him to drop real deep. And then, I mean, if he's in his own half, that's where you want him to be. So I don't know. Allegri gets paid to make those decisions, and well, he hasn't been making them very well in the last 3-4 months. So let's hope he does on, was it Sunday? Yes, Sunday.
Yeah. I think you have to look at Andrea Cambiasso after the game he had against Milan. Whether he plays out on the left or on the right, or even as a midfielder again, if he has a good game, we are going to have a much better chance to win, because he's started pulling out a range of passing that not a lot of guys have come up with this year. I think that he can shake that defense a little bit, especially if he manages to get some of the Chiesa running on one of those long diagonals like he did with Yildiz once or twice against Milan on Saturday.
Well, speaking of Yildiz, and I guess we can kind of wrap it up on this note. Yildiz or Chiesa, who would you play against Roma?
I mean, I prefer playing people in their natural positions. So,
Chuck, you know, that's too much to ask for.
Yeah, since it's obviously going to be a 3-5-2. I mean, Yildiz, and then Chiesa coming off the bench. But yeah, I mean, if it ends up being like a 3-4-3 or something, then yeah, Chiesa. I mean, I doubt it.
I think it'll be Chiesa from the start, regardless. As always, we don't like him where he's playing with Max. He doesn't like him where he's playing with Max. But fact of the matter is, I think the reason that he didn't start against Milan was because he went 90 hard minutes against Lazio. I think that was a straight rotation given the midweek game. So I would be surprised if he wasn't in the starting 11, just out of, because, you know, he is still a better player than Yilditz. You know, that's not taking away anything from Yilditz. It's just that Yilditz is a teenager and needs time to fully figure himself out. He's immensely talented. He's going to be really, it's going to be really great when he fully develops. But yeah, I think it's going to be Chiesa.
And he needs time to finish puberty. I mean, Jesus, he's only 19 or something. Lord.
Well, Chucks, it's funny you mentioned that because this episode will be coming out right before Kenan Yildiz's 19th birthday. So
there you go. Well, mazel tov.
Mazel tov. On behalf of everybody, happy birthday, Kenan. We hope that you can ring it in with some sort of positive contribution that helps Juventus actually win a game, because over the last 13 games, we have not seen that happen very often. Chucks, do you want to guess real quick before I do the usual sign-off? What Juventus's record over the last 13 league games actually is?
Well,
to put you in a really good mood before we sign off.
I mean, I know in terms of points, it was 13 and 13, right?
Yes, but how does that 13 points break down?
Oh, in terms of wins, draws, losses. I think it was like two wins.
There you go. Like, you got a third of it.
Two wins, and then like I don't know. I think it was only like three losses, I think, and then the rest are draws, I think, something like that.
Sam, have you looked it up, or do you want to take the guess?
I have not looked it up.
All right. So it's Inter Udinese. It was definitely two. Oh, three. No, it's three. Yeah, because it was Napoli as well. So three losses, and then a bunch of draws. What was that, eight draws, seven, five?
Two wins, four losses, seven draws.
Seven. Yeah. So I was right? Yeah.
No, one third of it.
Well, I kind of circled back and I was like, I think four. You know, final. It wasn't like in that whatever.
I saw the wheels spinning. I know this is an audio medium, but I saw the wheels.
Well, it wasn't like in that, was it, millionaire or whatever show where I said final answer, you know? So, you know, technicalities.
There we go. Well, Chucks, you gave us your final answer. We always appreciate your final answer. We always appreciate you, the listener, listening to us ahead of another big game that Juventus will have this weekend. If you want to follow us during said game, feel free to do so on the Twitter machine at Juventus Nation. Follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow the Fans First Sports Network on the Twitter machine at Fans First SN, fansfirstsports.com for all the other podcasts around the network. Follow us on your favorite podcasting platform, whether it is Apple Podcasts or Spotify. If you do listen on those two podcasting platforms, feel free to leave us a nice 5-star rating and review. So, for Sam, for Chucks, for Sergio, and producer Couch, this is Dan saying thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you guys in a few days.